And what it essentially entails is they're going to force everyone to become Palantir. And at this point, we're all forced to become a data collection arm for the government through a secret order that you cannot talk about.
This year, Canada's Minister of Public Safety introduced Bill C-22, also known as the Lawful Access Act, which introduces mass surveillance capabilities in the name of safety, as always seems to be the claim, and requires electronic service providers to store sensitive information and data on Canadian users. This also can affect everybody, not just Canadian users, because once you get to an entire country doing a thing, obviously it can have ripple effects where it might be easier for a company to just implement those policies for every user. So as a result of this, privacy-minded companies like DuckDuckGo, NordVPN, and Signal are all threatening to leave the country if it becomes law or stop operating there. And believe it or not, Meta, as in Facebook, thinks this is a bad thing. Do you know how bad you have to be at privacy for Facebook to say you're doing too much? Under C-22, authorities can compel internet service providers to confirm whether a particular subscriber, account, phone number, or identifier is part of their system without obtaining a warrant.
It is not about surveillance of Canadians going about their daily lives. It is about keeping Canadians safe in the online space.
That's great, but the bill would force companies to build surveillance infrastructure and retain sensitive data they may not otherwise keep or even want to keep while building systems capable of handing that data over to the government. This also makes all of them become massive attack vectors. If you're an attacker, then suddenly every company that has to retain all this information, including some of the smallest companies that don't have the security infrastructure, they all become great targets. This means that even companies with a stated mission of protecting user privacy, like Signal, for example, or Tailscale, would be forced to retain the data that they specifically don't want to hold on to and don't even collect in some of these instances. The CEO of Tailscale, which is software that enables user-controlled VPN endpoints, for example, among a ton of other networking functions we actually use it, suggested that the bill would create backdoors.
It's not the key that's the problem. It's the fact that you put in this gate that uses the regular lock.
Windscribe, a VPN service with IP cloaking and with encryption options, also put out a comment through its CEO and also some sarcastic parody of the whole thing. The CEO provided a more interesting analogy, though, for what the bill would be like for the providers.
It would be like forcing a vegan restaurant to install a slaughterhouse in the back, just in case someone from the government may want to visit at some point.
The language of the bill casts a pretty wide net. It targets electronic service providers, which, if you look at the definition of that per the law here, encompass, quote, a person that individually or as part of a group provides an electronic service, end quote. Great. That's the sort of specificity that we need in laws. Law enforcement organizations are actively lobbying for the bill, too.
One of the tools that law enforcement leaders across Canada, and particularly the Toronto Police Service and the Toronto Police Association, have been asking for is lawful access as a tool that will enable them to ensure better public safety.
Lawful access might sound fair, but it's the lawmakers who decide what lawful access actually means. Again, C-22 would allow authorities to compel telecommunication services to provide information without a warrant.
If you have a cell phone number that is attached to Company A, this bill will enable law enforcement to contact that A company and say, is this individual or is this phone number attached to your service? That is done without warrant.
So we've already covered New York COSA, NY COSA, where New York is pushing for requiring ID to use the internet, basically. Now it's time to cover Canada's version of this, although less ID, more data retention. We brought you this video with store.gamersaccess.net, which has thus far allowed us to keep third-party ad sales out of GNCA. We're currently running a sale on our store to help fund the next big video project. Our GNCA component mouse mats are currently marked down to $20, with the autographed version marked down instep at $40. The Retro IO themed drink coaster pack that we made with soft 3D components is now on sale for $30. For the pack of four, our Amp Medium Mod Mat on sale now for $60, and our Disappointment t-shirt from this year has its remaining stock on sale for $18. Finally, the component mouse pad with custom rubber underside and stitching is available for $15. We'll leave the sale up for a while, but these prices aren't permanent and are just to help fund the next few projects. The component mouse mats fit a mouse and keyboard, have an all-over print that we designed in-house, and have a yellow rubber underside that we customized with blue stitching for anti-fray. The Media Mod Mats include an enamel pin, pinout card, and medium-sized rugged work surface for your shop, garage, or office with anti-static strap. The Retro IO coasters are one of my favorites, featuring a floppy drive coaster with a floppy in the slot, controller coaster, Model M-inspired numpad coaster, and GN logo. These are easily washable in the sink, are a soft material, and great for catching condensation. Finally, we just launched our stackable ESD-safe AMD CPU holder trays on the store. We're making these at GN with fully in-house 3D printing, including our testing of the anti-static dissipative properties. Head over to store.gamersaccess.net to support this content directly. Back to it. In championing the bill, Public Safety Minister of Canada, The public safety minister laid out the context for why the bill is purportedly needed.
They use many of the same digital tools that are in our pockets or on our desk, but they use them for money laundering, for online abuse, extortion, fraud, and human trafficking. The tools we have to fight them are inadequate to the task at hand. That is why last week our government introduced Bill C-22, the Lawful Access Act.
When pressed on the bill's controversial nature, the minister stated that the government needs to collect this information because kids use AI or something.
As you know, kids, for example, are using technology at a scale and pace that we've never seen before. As technology evolves, especially with AI, there is an absolute need for law enforcement to be able to keep up with the current trends and the current challenges.
Here's what the bill actually says. C-22 will require electronic service providers, or ESPs, to create systems that store user metadata and are able to share that data with the government for up to 1 year. C-22 provides a very broad definition for ESPs, defining electronic service providers as someone that provides an electronic service to people in Canada or carries on business activities in Canada. According to the bill, a peace officer, or public officer as they call them, can demand that a telecommunications provider confirm whether it services a particular subscriber, account, phone number, or other identifier if they have, quote, reasonable grounds to suspect, end quote, that an offense has been or will be committed, and that the information would assist an investigation. We're back to predictive policing. Or something. One of the more alarming pieces of the bill is its non-disclosure section, which reads, quote, the peace officer or public officer who makes the demand may impose conditions in the demand prohibiting the disclosure of its existence or some or all of its contents for a period not greater than 1 year after the day on which the demand is made, end quote. In practice, that means authorities can prohibit a provider from telling you they requested your information. The bill also shields providers that comply with these demands from liability. As the legislation states, quote, a telecommunications service provider that provides a confirmation in those circumstances does not incur any criminal or civil liability for doing so, end quote. So as we all know, the saying goes, snitches get immunity. Where it gets messier is that the bill's reach extends beyond Canada's borders. As C-22 states, quote, a justice or judge may authorize a peace officer or public officer to make a request to a foreign entity to prepare and produce a document containing transmission data or subscriber information, end quote. The C-22 doesn't strictly grant access to a user's browsing information, their messaging, or their social media history. But it does require that the providers of those things retain the metadata for up to a year. According to the Office of the Privacy Commissioner of Canada, metadata information can include phone numbers, location data, email addresses, search queries, pages visited, usernames and birth dates, and much more. That's a lot of information. And it includes search queries, which is at some point just data. Basically, it's so much information that the NSA and CIA director Michael Hayden said, quote, we kill people based on metadata, end quote. NSA General Counsel Stu Baker has also said, quote, metadata absolutely tells you everything about somebody's life. If you have enough metadata, you don't really need content, end quote. Metadata is a way to make it sound a lot less prying than it actually is, but it really isn't. That's everything you need. And forcing providers to create retention databases also creates opportunities for abuse, both by these providers and their employees, and by the government, and by attackers, who now would see this as a great vector to harvest information from companies that really don't want to retain it to begin with and might not even be in a position to have good cybersecurity personnel to guard that data if they're from a smaller company. Canadian Member of Parliament Dane Lloyd said this.
We've seen in some cases there's allegations of, you know, people in law enforcement looking up, you know, ex-spouses and things like that.
The bill also heightens the risk for hacks, such as with the infamous Equifax and Salt Typhoon attacks that we've previously covered. As Canadian Chamber of Commerce David Pierce pointed out.
Well, bad actors and corporate espionage, competitors. The intellectual property of these companies is incredibly valuable. And to just give unfettered access for someone to peruse around as they see fit is a great risk.
When pressed about the backdoor concerns that tech companies have regarding the bill, the minister replied with this.
We will bring in amendments to ensure that encryption will not be compromised. So that will be clearly outlined in the bill.
Right, what they're saying is you're asking for system changes.
It's being drafted as I speak, but it will essentially satisfy the concerns that they have. I also want to say that there is no backdoor vehicle.
While the minister says the bill doesn't break encryption, it does still force companies to retain data they otherwise might not want to retain. And that makes the distinction, we think, academic. It's sort of like the government saying, it won't open up your envelope and read your mail and intercept it. But the government can see who sent it, can see who received it, can see where it was sent from and when it was sent. And it might have held the envelope up to a bright light or scanned it through a machine that is capable of, you know, reading through it if they really wanted to. C-22 would then require everyone to keep records regarding every envelope. This will also add significant costs to companies that they would have to bear without any added financial gain, which would be passed on to consumers where possible. As David Pierce, who serves the Government Relations VP for the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, stated,
on the discussion of metadata, this will impose significant costs, millions of dollars, on businesses.
And as the minister confirmed, it'll also impact companies outside of Canada's borders.
There are certainly provisions in the bill that will enable Canadian law enforcement to access information across borders. So we do have a mutual assistance agreement with a number of countries.
It's not surprising that companies are threatening to leave Canada as a result of this bill. There are a bunch of privacy-focused companies that have been commenting on this bill. So let's dive into what some of them are saying about C-22. Signal's VP of Strategy told Canada's House of Commons Public Safety Committee this.
In its current form, Bill C-22 would convert the everyday tools Canadians rely on into a sprawling, insecure surveillance apparatus. To be upfront, Signal will not build infrastructure into our service. And we will also not build surveillance into our service. If we are ever forced to choose between betraying the people who rely on us and leaving a market, we will leave.
So he says that Signal will never give up the trust of its users. On the heels of Signal warning that it would pull out of Canada if the bill in its current form passes, Canada-based VPN company Windscribe tweeted, quote, we won't be far behind if C-22 passes. In its current state, VPNs would almost certainly require us to log, identify, and user data. Signal isn't headquartered in Canada, so they can just shut off Canadian servers. But our headquarters is. We pay an ungodly amount of taxes to this corrupt government, and in return, they want to destroy the entire essence of our service to basically spy on its own citizens. Not happening. We'll move headquarters and take our taxes elsewhere, end quote. Those are some harsh words, but really awesome, but pretty harsh words. It'd be a shame if something happened to them.
Hello, my name is Igor Sack. I am the CEO and co-founder of Windscribe, a Canadian VPN company. I am making the following statement of my own free will. I am not under duress and my family is safe. I have made comments that oppose Bill C-22, which I regret. I have been educated. Bill C-22 is good.
After Windscribe's tweet, NordVPN, which is the leading VPN company in the world by market share, from what's publicly known anyway, was asked if it would comply with the bill. Nord replied, quote, should Bill C-22 pass in its current form, and if we are subjected to mandatory obligations, there isn't a scenario in which we would compromise our no-logs architecture or encryption protections. To prevent this, we will consider all viable options, including limiting or, if necessary, removing our presence from Canadian jurisdiction, end quote. A spokesperson over at privacy-focused search engine DuckDuckGo told Global News that it, too, would leave Canada if the bill passes. The publication reported that the representative wrote to them in an email that they, quote, can confirm we'd remove our VPN service, end quote. While Google didn't go as far as saying it would leave Canada if C-22 passes, Jeanette Patel, Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy at Google Canada, stated that, quote, the law could be used to force the dismantling of critical privacy and architecture, such as breaking encryption, overriding users' data deletion controls, or building remote access capability, all of which could facilitate foreign interference and weaken global user privacy, end quote. The best part, again, is that even Meta, the kin of harvesting private data, chimed in to criticize the privacy vulnerabilities of C-22, stating on its site, quote, part two of Bill 22 could have a significant impact on Canadians' privacy and cybersecurity, including potentially requiring companies to build or maintain capabilities that break or weaken encryption, and forcing providers to install government spyware directly on their systems, end quote. So again, if Facebook's calling you out for privacy, I mean, that really says everything you need to know. Rachel Curran, Meta's Director of Public Policy in Canada, highlighted that, quote, it's not possible to build backdoors to encrypted systems for law enforcement without creating vulnerabilities that will be exploited by malicious actors, end quote. This is in spite of advocate of the bill, Nina Krieger, who's the Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General of British Columbia, stating,
the bill also crucially brings us in line with other jurisdictions around the world when it comes to investigative tools involving social media companies and online cross-border crime.
What's really interesting here is the regulatory dissonance, where it might not be possible if this passes for companies to comply with both the Canadian law and the European laws simultaneously because of the differences in how data protection and privacy are handled between the two regulatory bodies.
As a company who's like, you know, an electronic service provider, right, we might be in a situation where we can't actually comply with both laws at the same time.
That's TailScale CEO Avery Penarin, who was immediately echoed by the CEO of Windscribe, who highlighted that the Canadian market loses in this comparison.
Even for us, even though we're based in Canada, but Canadian revenues are, you know, single-digit percentages of our total.
If you are an electronic service provider based in Canada today with customers in the United States and Europe, complying with parts of Part 2 could put you offside with law enforcement and regulators in those jurisdictions.
It doesn't help that the EU has a way larger population than Canada, at something like 450 million people to around 41 million people for Canada for the population. So short of altering business in major ways, companies would obviously choose whichever market is the most profitable. And it's probably the one with a lot more people for services and products. So if the laws between the two bodies are incompatible, really the largest of the companies might be able to deal with that. They also have direct lines to government. But otherwise, this creates a lot of additional financial overhead too for companies, which, you know, boo-hoo, cry me a fucking river if you're Meta. But if you're a startup, if you're a new company or a sole proprietor starting something up, this adds even more hurdles to get started because this bill is broad. They don't really care what size the company is. Technical limitations also come into play. So metadata retention is taxing technically and financially, and that's especially true for software that was architected specifically to not collect or retain what it hasn't collected, metadata, as their entire selling point for their software. Technically, meeting Canada's requirements likely means needing servers to harvest and store that data, technical personnel to hopefully provide some form of cybersecurity auditing and assurance, legal personnel to write new policies for how that data is handled, and probably marketing costs to make sure your customers understand this isn't your decision. For a company like Signal, such a change would undermine the integrity of their entire marketed concept of being closed to prying eyes, including their own. Windscribe explained the infrastructure change in a podcast hosted by Professor Michael Geist at the University of Ottawa.
Building such a system is also, you know, no trivial matter when you design a service to not operate in this way from day one. So that has, you know, obviously financial implications. Now you have to build this thing that has nothing to do with your business use case. You have to retask people. You have to think about this thing that literally does not help you operate a service, does not help the end users in any way.
Because of how impossibly broad this bill is, effectively any company doing any business in Canada on the internet would require some level of data retention and collection for its users. That's not just VPN companies who have a better shot at some level of hopefully at least basic security and user privacy, given that's their business, but also companies that have absolutely nothing to do with the technology industry. The bill's definition is so vague as to apply to seemingly literally every single business that could be described as, quote, an electronic service provider, end quote, which itself is defined with an incredibly vague definition. One of the executives mentioned mom-and-pop shops potentially being beholden to this law, which introduces concerns of how your data would be protected in the event of some form of breach. Routers and servers are regularly exploited because people don't know they should keep firmware and software updated, and so some semi-abandoned network infrastructure at a small business that now retains customer metadata becomes a major risk for customers.
You definitely need to raise the alarm because ultimately this bill actually will make everything less secure and Canadians less safe, because creation of these massive databases that will store very personal information, and companies that have no business having that information and they never wanted to have it or collect it in the first place are not going to be forced to have this massive cache of personal data. That's like that's prime for the taking, not just by the government with a legal court order for that particular record, as the government leads you to believe. Now it's an attractive target for foreign governments.
Some politicians have pushed back on the bill as well. Elizabeth May, a member of parliament in Canada's Green Party, echoed the grievances that the tech companies outlined, saying,
"We don't want surveillance built into the permanent collection of data, which will be required under the terms of this act as currently drafted."
May also criticized the bill's use of the phrase "reasonable grounds to suspect," noting that it's a lower legal threshold than "reasonable grounds to believe." She also warned that the bill's use of "public officer" could extend certain powers beyond police and to other government investigators. Reasonable grounds to believe is a higher legal standard than reasonable grounds to suspect. The reason the distinction matters is because, from what we understand from trying to research this, it looks like this can determine when law enforcement is permitted to obtain warrants, access information, or exercise certain investigative powers. On the topic of surveillance, Rhonda Kirkland, a Conservative member of Parliament, pressed the Public Safety Minister about releasing an investigative report conducted by Canada's former head of National Security and Intelligence Review Agency, which would detail the impact the bill may have.
You mentioned that you were very confident that privacy and safety is addressed in the bill as it is currently. Your government relied on consultations led by Murray Rankin to inform Bill C-22, yet you have not released that report. Will you release Mr. Rankin's report and share it with this committee?
I'm seeking privilege on that matter, and I don't believe that will be released.
So for a man pushing a bill that seems to be the epitome of, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about, he sure seems like he's hiding something. And maybe he's hiding like a door at the back of something. It's like a door back, the name needs work.
But what about the smaller providers, the smaller electronic service providers across the country that fill gaps that the large do not? They don't have the capacity to pivot and turn and finance large operations to support law enforcement essentially being able to come in and attach a device to the back of their system and work there with them over a long period of time to facilitate it.
A Pierce warned that the added burden could force companies to relocate, which is actually exactly what we're seeing from companies like DuckDuckGo, NordVPN, and Signal. And the bill hasn't yet become law, so there's still a chance to stop this. As for where it stands now and its current status, right now, C-22 is being contested in the House of Commons Public Safety Committee. Despite heavy pushback, the government has recently moved to limit further debate on pending amendments. To become law, the bill still has to finish this committee stage, pass a final third reading in the House of Commons, clear the Senate, and ultimately receive royal assent. So while the Minister of Truth... Public Safety, the Minister of Public Safety, is trying to limit amendments to the bill, Windscribe's CEO called for several changes.
Removal of mandatory metadata retention, explicit encryption protections, narrower core providers definition, removal of secret gag orders, and back to the higher standard of reason to believe as opposed to reason to suspect.
One of the earlier concerns was about prohibiting ESPs, or the service providers, the companies, from informing their own customers that they had been forced to give up information to authorities, which is something that David Pierce, the Chamber of Commerce VP, commented on.
We recognize the importance of non-disclosure orders, but these should be limited to court-authorized actions tied to national security risks and active investigations.
Tailscale proposed similar reforms, including removing broad data retention requirements, protecting encryption, allowing providers to disclose government requests to affected users, and adding independent oversight and sunset provisions. Now, while C22 claims that it's trying to make people safer, if you take that at face value and you decide that, okay, this is earnestly what they are trying to do, then obviously the cure can't be worse than the problem, as the VP of Signal explained.
You cannot make Canadians safer by breaking the tools they rely on from protections from hackers, hostile nations, and everyday transnational surveillance.
Really, one of the big problems here, other than the fact that this does just seem like it's not as simple as protecting people, it never seems to be that simple, but once the providers, the providers here being just businesses that operate on the internet, not just ISPs, but once ESPs, once businesses that use the internet to conduct commerce with Canadian customers are forced to collect and store more data, that information itself becomes a target, not just for law enforcement, but for anybody who manages to break in. Tailscale explained, quote, once a law requires a company to retain more metadata, the company now has a new database. That database needs access controls, audit logs, backups, operators, retention systems, legal processes, and incident response plans. It becomes part of the attack surface, end quote. So they say that the bill is supposed to help law enforcement. It's interesting, actually, locally right now. One of the claims from one of the town councils is that the claim is the new Flock cameras they're installing is supposed to help law enforcement. And yet I just saw a story about a Flock camera popping up basically in a woman's yard. But okay, face value, it's to help law enforcement. It still, maybe ironically, creates more crimes for law enforcement to then deal with. But I guess as the famous quote goes,
some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
If companies like Signal, NordVPN, Windscribe, and DuckDuckGo leave Canadians out to dry, then that would leave Canadians with fewer privacy-focused services. Yes, it would bring new meaning to the term Canada Dry. I actually don't even know if that's Canadian. I feel like it's very possible that's just an American thing that we've rebranded, but you can let me know in the comments. Maybe it's something that Canadians are very proud of. I'm not sure. I'm sorry if I offended you if that's the case. You can let me know about Canada Dry in the comments. But luckily, this is not a done deal yet. If you're in Canada, we urge you to reach out to your member of parliament and let them know that you oppose Bill C-22 in its current form. There are things like this all over the world that are being pushed right now. We saw it in the UK. It's basically gone through. We've seen New York with NYCOSA trying to push this. That's on the channel if you want to learn about that. This is happening everywhere in some form. Sometimes it's ID verification. Sometimes it's data retention and collection. But they're all kind of part of the same concerns for end users, normal people on the internet, where I think, you know, a lot of us have gotten to witness the golden age of the internet, so to speak, and how it functions. And now we're seeing what happens when maybe other entities outside think that there's a little bit too much power in the hands of, or there's too much money to extract from normal people. It's probably more that one than anything. But anyway, there's some arguments that this harms Canadians that we've gone through in this piece, but most of them have to do with companies deserting the space, reducing investment there, cost to Canadian consumers, security and privacy risks, data retention and privacy risks, breaches, and then financial cost for companies where they're going to have to weigh if they want to even bother operating there or not, depending on how big that market is for them versus their global markets. So it also, I suppose, sets up the framework for the largest of the large companies to succeed there, like Google or Meta, even though Meta is saying it's opposed to this, because they're the ones that are going to have the funds to just figure out a solution or pay off the government. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. Check out GNCA for more of this. And we'll see you all next time.